Newswire, a weekly review of breaking news published on independent media center newswires from all over the world. Welcome to the Indie Newswire on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. This show broadcasts from 10 to noon every Friday. And today we have guests in the studio. We've had our coffee and we're excited to talk about Pride this weekend in Watsonville. The president of Somos, Maria, is with us here in the Free Radio studios, and a teacher for Class 4 as well, here to hang out and talk about Watsonville's first Pride coming up this Sunday. So, Maria, welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thank you for having me. Gracias por tenerme aquí.
Of course, of course. We're very excited for Watsonville's first event, and folks who have listened to the show have heard some of the details about coming out, and we'll talk a lot about what's going to happen on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most important things that to get out there on the air and talk to folks about is how this came to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could start by talking a little bit about Somos and the work that you do.
Yeah. Well, Somos LGBT, it's an organization that is dedicated to eliminate all forms of oppression by providing services and support to promote enhanced quality of life to the LGBT Latino community and their allies of the Central Coast. En español, ¿verdad? Somos LGBT, es una organización dedicada a eliminar todas las formas de opresión a través de proveer servicios y apoyo para promover el mejoramiento de la vida de la comunidad LGBT latina y sus aliados en la costa central. En Somos empezó en agosto 25 de 2007, pero Somos empezó viene desde un movimiento atrás, de años, muchos años atrás, ¿no? Particularmente yo, y no he dicho todo mi nombre completo, pero lo voy a decir mi nombre a propósito, mi nombre es María Luisa Ramírez Pérez, pero la mayoría de la gente me conoce como María Pérez. Y tengo más o menos trabajando en el movimiento, específicamente en el movimiento LGBT, desde 1995 a la fecha. Quiere decir como 13 años, ¿no? Antes de eso, yo era una activista en otras luchas y en otras cosas que pasan dentro de la comunidad, como en la lucha por los derechos inmigrantes, la lucha por la lucha por las mujeres, ¿verdad? Por ejemplo, soy la cofundadora de Defensa de Mujeres, que una agencia que se creó para responder a la opresión dentro del sistema de la agencia Women's Crisis Support, por ejemplo, que no, y de los servicios sociales que no daban buen servicio a la comunidad latina. Entonces, creamos Defensa de Mujeres en 1988. Pero empezamos la lucha en 1987 y para 1989 se fundó Defensa de Mujeres. Y después ya yo trabajé ya hasta el 90 y después alguien más agarró la batuta y se la llevó. So what I was saying is that my name is María Luisa Ramírez Pérez and people know me like María Pérez, and I was the co-founder of Defensa de Mujeres, and I want to emphasize that one of that Somos LGBT is also starting like in efforts they don't start all of the sudden. It happens, like, for instance, Somos, I started focusing my activism on the LGBT agenda because it's the core of my being. But I'm a lesbian, you know, but like any other struggle from people, it doesn't happen all of the sudden. Like, for instance, in my case, I've been an activist almost all my life, like since I was 12. I'm going to be 50, so imagine, I don't know how many years, 30-something years I've been an activist. And before 1995, I was focused on other struggles like immigrant rights, other Latina issues that were happening in the community, like domestic violence, and that's how I became a co-founder of Defensa de Mujeres in 1988. But we started the struggle in 1987, and we finished facing the institutionalized oppression within the women's crisis, within the arena of the social services. So I have participated on and off, but actually continuing what I mean by on and off is just sometimes right in this struggle takes off and we work there, and sometimes this struggle takes off and that we work there. So eventually it came to my I came to the realization that when I was being an activist, well, I was being an activist of workers' rights, women's rights, men's rights, children's rights, youth rights, and all kinds of rights. Nobody was really talking about what the agenda of the LGBT issues were, especially in the Latino community. So, in any case, I was in the. In other words, even though I was not in the closet within the movements, I also was. Excuse me. I guess I need water. I didn't realize that I need water, but. I guess I'm getting my throat is getting dried of talking in many different. I mean, we have received a lot of support from the media this time because of What's on Be Pride, which is awesome. But thank you all of you that have supported us through the process. In any case, what I was saying, what I lost my train of thought. Remind me.
All the build up to this exciting.
One of the things that became evident is that while. People in the workers' rights were so focused on the workers' rights, they didn't want to touch the arena. I wasn't out of the closet. I mean, inside the closet, but I wasn't pushing the LGBT agenda within the workers' rights struggle. Because people in the workers' rights struggle, even though they were allies with me and they were very good they didn't care about me being a lesbian, they did not thought. They didn't think that, and I'm sorry, I'm correcting myself. I'm thinking a lot of things and I'm trying to convey that message right here. They didn't think that it was a good idea for the struggle that we were having to bring up a so heated issue, so controversial issue of the LGBT issues within the Latino community. And they thought that it was going to deter in the attention on the issues at front. In the same token, all their struggles, you know, nobody wanted to talk about this. And so I went like years and years and years of working on other issues, but nobody wanted to talk about the issues about the LGBT people. And they didn't think about how that it affected us differently, that the oppressions, for instance, as a worker, because we, within the LGBT community, regardless of the race, we have, we are workers, we are mothers, fathers, daughters, sisters, we're part of the community, we pay taxes, we're productive. Some of us are not that good. We act out and like the rest of the world, you know. We have our problems as human beings, but we are that part, the core of our beings as human beings, gets forgotten or put aside in the priorities of any struggle is the last one to touch or don't even talk about it. So it's like. Is like really up to this point, not just in the Latino community, but in at large, in many instances when we're working as activists, the LGBT issues are put, if placed, as the last of the issues to talk about. It feels sometimes like the don't ask, don't tell, right? A policy in the military, it feels like that. So it's like being free. In a big, huge society, like imagining that it's a camp, you know, military camp. So it's like being in that. You just don't be whoever you are, but don't tell me anything about it. And so that's what is no being out of the closet for anybody. And for the Latino folks, there is other layers of oppression that become evident as time progresses and as time goes by when you're growing up. Other feelings of not being who you are, the lack of freedom, the lack of imagine that you're not going to be able to talk about the most important thing of what you have to say or what you have to be or what you are, what you feel. That's why another reason why we our organization is called Somos, you know. So we decided, I decided that in 1995 I was going to start focusing and looking for allies and people who were interested on helping out to bring out the issues of the LGBT community at large. And naively, even though I had a lot of experience in 1995 of being in the political arena, I thought that because the LGBT white folks were familiar with being discriminated against one more layer than the common workers, for instance. It's one thing to be oppressed as a woman. It's one thing to be oppressed as a child, as a young person, or elder, or it's one layer of oppression. But think about now you're oppressed because of your sexual orientation. Then, so you're oppressed double, right? So, like, for instance, I was thinking, oh, I'm a woman, I'm oppressed as a woman. Okay, I have to work on women's rights. I'm a worker. Now I have to work. I have to look and see the possibility of how to work on being a woman and being a worker woman. Then, on top of that, I say, I'm a Latina. Oh, okay. And I have brown skin. Okay, now I have to work on racism. Okay. So now what happened? But what happened about the LGBT? Well, that's not important right now, and it's not relevant. It's for later, that I was told. So then I said, okay. So imagine all those layers of oppression. So I'm four times oppressed, kind of a thing, for just to be very schematic. It's to the risk of being schematic, that's what it is. So that's why Somos is called Somos, because it's Somos in the Shakespearean senses, to be or not to be, who you are. Who are you? What you're here to do in this life, you know? And so, anyway, I decided to move along and look for those alliances. And as I was saying, naively, I thought that the white people were going to understand, you know, the LGBT white folks were going to understand all those layers of oppression. Well, guess what? No, they didn't understand my struggle as a Latina. They didn't understand my struggle. They wanted to. They wanted to because they could relate to the oppression, but they didn't know how. And as a leader, when I came to tell them, I'm a leader in the Latino community because I was already a leader. You see, I was already a leader and I was already recognized in those fields. But I wasn't recognized as a leader in the LGBT movement because I was so busy doing other agendas, you know, moving along working really hard with the other folks, being an ally over there and this, that, and after all, those issues touch me. But white folks in the LGBT movement, most of the ones that are at the forefront, have access to money, it becomes kind of like especially in Santa Cruz, it becomes kind of like a middle class issue. So middle class people couldn't relate to the poor person that I am, have no money. I still drive my 1989 car, the only car that I have had from that I bought, thinking that it was going to last for life. Now it's not that, it's been a while, but it's there, you know. So anyway, I didn't think that, I was thinking that white folks will really support me. Well, they will support me as long as I didn't talk about, as long as I didn't want to put the issues of the Latino LGBT community on the forefront. We needed to wait for the best moment, for the appropriate time. The resources were limited. We don't have enough money for this, for that, and the other. But we need to do this project. No, we can only do outreach. Outreach for what? We're going to do outreach for those people to come to our agency and be very happy with us. You know, okay, but we need services. One of the most relevant issues for the Latino community, for instance, is domestic violence. Well, the domestic violence, even though with all domestic violence services available in the community, don't know what to do with domestic violence LGBT folks in general. Leave alone what to do with Latino, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people who live in domestic violence. That's a reality, you know. So anyway, so that's why we're somos LGBT.
Pues entonces para hacerlo en
español.
En español, estamos hablando sobre, aún en progres, Santa Cruz, un comunidad progresiva, estamos hablando sobre la política de identidad, ¿no?
Sí.
Entonces, aún en esta comunidad hay diferencias, hay como está hablando sobre las layers.
De capas.
Capas de opresión.
Sí.
Que están uno sobre otro,
Sí, así es. Por eso, como estaba diciendo en inglés, ¿verdad? Porque queremos que la gente que habla español también tenga acceso a esta comunicación. Aquí hablaremos, por ejemplo, de la opresión del lenguaje, ¿no? Por ejemplo, yo soy inmigrante y mi primera lengua es el español. Tuve que trabajar muy duro para obtener más o menos un inglés decente con el que pudiera yo comunicarme perfectamente con las personas y que se dieran cuenta que no era, que era un poco más educada que el común denominador o que la mayoría de los inmigrantes, porque pues soy maestra, me gradué en México y tengo también la opresión y el aprendizaje que tengo de la escuela, ¿verdad? De que tú tienes que hablar correctamente, ¿no? Y nada más para ponerlo ahí, estamos queriendo darles acceso porque la opresión del lenguaje también es una opresión. Anyway, y por eso estamos haciendo este trabajo bilingüe, como quiera que sea. Y lo que estaba diciendo que yo como activista tengo muchos años de activismo. Desde que estaba yo en México era activista, empecé como a los 12 años. Vine a este país en 1986 cuando tenía 27. Ya venía con una formación política. Entonces cuando llego aquí me incorporé a las luchas de los trabajadores de la huelga, de los inmigrantes y de los proveedores de servicios hacia la comunidad latina. Entonces trabajé desde entonces, de 1987 a 1995, en esos temas que competen exclusivamente a los latinos, porque era donde yo, pues yo soy latina y yo tengo que meterme en esos rollos, ¿no? Estaba claro para mí. Y yo soy trabajadora, pues tengo que meterme en los asuntos de los trabajadores. Oh, pues yo soy mujer, pues tengo que meterme en los asuntos de las mujeres. Y fui una de las fundadoras de Defensa de Mujeres cuando había una clara opresión dentro de los servicios sociales que no tenían acceso a las mujeres latinas y no estaban siendo sensibles, no sabían cómo darles servicios. Y era parte yo de Women's Crisis Support, trabajadora de Women's Crisis Support, y yo con un grupo de mujeres nos salimos de Women's Crisis Support para ser latinas, un grupo de mujeres latinas nos salimos para hacer esa lucha. Entonces, una de las cosas que estoy tratando de decir con esta plática es que las luchas no resultan aisladas y queremos enfatizar eso, y estoy poniendo este ejemplo de defensa de mujeres, ¿no? Nosotros de 1987 a 1995 más o menos me dediqué a todas esas luchas, ¿verdad? A ayudar en esas luchas. Pero yo me daba cuenta que dentro de esas luchas, dentro de esos círculos, no era buena idea para los que estaban al frente, para los líderes de ese movimiento, hablar de que yo era lesbiana y de que yo tenía, y que mis problemáticas tenían un tinte diferente, tenían un toque diferente que me afectaba de diferente manera cuando yo estaba como trabajadora lesbiana, por ejemplo, o como trabajadora mujer, o que la violencia doméstica dentro de mi relación se manifestaba de diferente manera que cómo se puede manifestar en una relación de otro tipo, de heterosexual, ¿no? Entonces, llegué al reconocimiento de que si yo quería trabajar en mis temas, que en mi corazón, en el centro de lo que yo soy, tenía que agarrar el toro por los cuernos y ser yo la que lo hiciera. Y por eso decido en 1995 hacer a un lado la lucha laboral, la lucha de los inmigrantes por un ratito, no porque se me olvidara y no porque la considerara menos importante, sino porque yo, alguien tenía que enfocarse en la lucha de los derechos LGBTs. Y yo empecé a buscar, pues, ¿quién está ahí trabajando en eso? ¿Quién es? Y a ver, déjeme ver quiénes son los que trabajan en esto, ¿no? Y me di cuenta que pues había un montón de gente bien intencionada, bien progresista, blanca, clase media, que tenía en Santa Cruz especialmente ganas de hacer un montón de cosas, pero al momento de empezar a hacer el trabajo con ellos, ya no tenían esa... otra vez volvían a poner los asuntos de los latinos. No tenían una conciencia de cómo ayudar a los latinos o a la comunidad latina LGBT. Vamos a hacer alcance, vamos a buscar a la gente, a que venga a nuestra agencia porque queremos ser más diversos, porque queremos vernos, no porque queremos vernos, porque queremos ayudarles. No, sin saber cómo ayudar, sin entender la realidad de lo que estábamos enfrentando. Porque si tú piensas, una persona que es de clase media, le va a tomar un tiempito reconocer cómo es una trabajadora lesbiana, porque una lesbiana de clase media no va a entender tan fácilmente y así de rápido qué le pasa a una lesbiana pobre, que como yo, que estoy pobre, que tengo un carro de 1989 y hasta la fecha está allí corriendo y espero que no se me descomponga, toco madera por aquí hay madera, y por así decirlo, ¿no? O sea, por poner un ejemplo. Entonces, cuando las compañeras y los compañeros LGBTs, yo me había unido a ellos pensando que van a entender mi lucha como latina, la sorpresa para mí fue muy grande porque me fui dando cuenta que no tenían una conciencia clara de qué hacer o cómo hacer, cómo atender nuestras necesidades, y por eso surge Somos, ¿no? Somos, que es, ya dije que es una organización dedicada a eliminar todas las formas de opresión. Somos muy ambiciosas. Queremos todas las opresiones, fuera, no más. Entonces, no sé si he cubierto todo el asunto que dije.
Creo, claro, que sí. Es que cubrimos, llegamos a la idea de los asuntos LGBT son como una distracción en los movimientos.
Sí.
O estaba, pero algo aparte, algo que es una distracción que la meta que ya tenemos juntos, pero es por el otro lado, como
sí. O espérate tantito, mira, después en la siguiente agenda, en la siguiente junta, a ver si hay chance y lo tratamos. Así es como ocurre la opresión institucionalizada dentro del mismo movimiento.
Exacto.
La falta de claridad de los líderes hace que no comprendan que eso es lo que el sistema opresor quiere. Quiere que nosotros, cada uno de nosotros, y en este país fundamentalmente, la individualidad, los derechos individuales, los derechos de cada individuo son realzados, son más relevantes que los derechos comunes. Aun cuando la Constitución de los Estados Unidos dice que todos para unos y unos para todos o lo que sea, es del dicho al hecho hay mucho trecho. O sea, llevarlo al... Es fácil decir, como decían mi familia, el prometer no empobrece, el dar es el que aniquila, así decía mi abuelo, ¿no? O sea, el prometer no empobrece, el dar es el que aniquila. O sea, todo mundo te puede prometer, y yo te puedo prometer las estrellas, a ver... bajártelas y dártelas de a de veras, a ver cómo te las bajo, ¿no? O sea, yo te puedo decir que voy a estar allí para ti, que a la hora de la hora, cuando si te toca morir, yo pongo el pecho. Bueno, a ver, a las pruebas me remito, a ver si es cierto. Ah, allí viene el policía, que te lleve a ti en lugar de a mí. Para empezar, no va a pasar así, ¿no? Entonces, los derechos individuales son muy cementados aquí, ¿no? Y están enraizados. No hay una conciencia del derecho colectivo. No hay una tendencia hacia ser más... Se habla de comunidad, pero el colectivo... por ejemplo, estamos más acostumbrados a la jerarquía de cómo llevar las juntas en jerarquía. No estamos acostumbrados al consenso, por ejemplo. el consenso que toma tanto tiempo, que toma un compromiso profundo de que no vamos a pasar hasta que la no vamos a pasar del punto hasta que la última persona de la reunión esté completamente clara, no cansada y fastidiada, sino completamente clara de que lo que se acaba de proponer es la mejor solución para todo el grupo. No hacemos eso. No hacemos eso. Y esa es la realidad. Entonces, en ese tipo de el cómo se da dentro de la cómo se filtra la opresión, e inclusive nosotros mismos, cómo instituimos la opresión y la apoyamos en nuestro hacer, inclusive en nuestras juntas más progresivas. Yo misma caigo a veces en lo que parece autoritarismo, por el sentido de urgencia de querer ser efectivo y eficiente y ya ahora, siendo que la opresión ha tomado generaciones. Y ese sentido de urgencia que tenemos, que nos lo meten y nos lo filtran a través de la televisión, por ejemplo, y de las películas, ¿no? Que en 2 horas tú naces, creces, te reproduces y mueres. Y de ser posible, por favor, allí tienes 2, 3 amantes, porque hay que hacerte la vida un poco interesante, ¿no? Y además te vas a volver heroína y héroe de la película, porque de tu propia película, por lo menos, ¿no? ¿Sí? Si nos damos cuenta, no, las películas no dicen el grupo fulano ganó, hizo el movimiento. No, dicen quién de ese grupo hizo el movimiento. A ver, el fulanito, vamos a buscar al fulanito de tal que sea el Superman o la super niña, la superwoman de esta película. ¿Sí? Entonces, eso, así es como se ha filtrado en nosotros la conciencia del individualismo en lugar de la conciencia del colectivismo y de la conciencia de la comunidad, con unidad, comunidad, con unidad, con unidad, con unión. Unión significa todas las partes, ¿sí? Y eso, crear comunidad no es tan fácil, y eso es lo que se les ha olvidado a muchos, lo que yo veo en este país, ¿no? Que se les ha olvidado, no solamente en este país, en otros movimientos también, cuando yo estaba en México también era la misma vaina, ¿no? La misma gata, nada más que revolcada. Entonces, pero aquí está enraizada, uno propone cambios y es muy difícil moverlos a la siguiente fase de conciencia.
Y afecta a las comunidades, a las organizaciones, a los movimientos, todos.
Sí.
Pero también, como usted dijo, afecta a los servicios que están provenidos por disponibles para la gente que viene. Entonces, sí. Por los trabajadores, los activistas,
sí.
Para la gente que están en las juntas,
sí.
Es una cosa, pero también a los que buscan ayuda, que buscan unos servicios.
Sí.
Hay este misma conciencia o falta de conciencia en provenir servicios también.
Sí, así es. En fin, so, ahora que tengo que traducir esto en inglés, ¿verdad? Híjole, okay. Lo puedo cortar. Okay, what I was saying and what I'm trying to convey right here is that unfortunately in the United States, you know, the tendency is that the individualistic point of view. It's a good idea to be an individual. I'm coming from a sense of having I'll tell you more about my life, but we're not discussing my life. We're talking about the reflections about how is that we started this movement, you know, the LGBT movement and this whole thing. What I was trying to say is that what I have learned in the United States, there is a tendency within the movements to think about your points of view as an individual and to be in help people as an individual from an individualistic point of view versus a collective point of view, a community point of view. Like, for instance, we don't think we ourselves sometimes, even myself, I have committed many times the sin of kind of participating in how do you say, perpetrating the oppressions of the groups. by on the name of lack of time and sense of urgency. We got to finish right now. We got to do. We got to be effective. Otherwise, this is not going to happen ever. Blah, 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 blah. That one later. No, put it over there. No, we don't talk about that one. We need to do this and so forth and so on. So and we go into that sense of urgency. And that's what the oppressors or the oppression wants, is for us to be divided, to be not united, right? Community means with unity, and that means the union of all parts, of all people, and consensus means that we're going to wait until the last person in the room, it's clear, no bore or no tire or anything, no, until that person is actually clear, that we all have the commitment to wait until every single part of the group, every single participant in the group becomes a participant in the awareness of what the group wants to accomplish. We don't have that commitment. We have the training of hierarchy, and the leader, the super leader, is the one that is going to tell us what to do and how to do it and how to think and when to jump. We just want somebody to tell us, jump, and we'll say, how high, right? So and that's not a good sense, and that's how oppression happens also within movements, you know, and what I was saying earlier, and that fractures the movements and affects the movements and affects the effectiveness of the movements.
And sets up hierarchy within them.
When there is hierarchy within them. And I'm guilty as much as many people, because in the name of effectiveness, I don't include anybody. I'm not everybody, and sometimes not anybody for that matter, you know. So it's a challenge within us in a sense, in the individual sense, to how to be collective, how to be a collective mind instead of being an individual mind. And we need to work on that. And I realized that those are some of the things that within the movement, the LGBT movement at large, was also affected. We're in the community, right? We're part of the society. We're affected by what everybody else is doing, in group or not in group, you know. And so we are connected. We're like the spiritual, institutions are trying to convey now, that we are all of us are connected and interrelated. Anyway, but that's not here nor there. Did I convey what I have said in English, Spanish, even though it was too long? I was giving a lot of examples and a lot of I said something about it's we can promise everything, and then I can promise you the stars, but the fact of giving you the actual stars is kind of like challenging, right? So
people make really big promises that they can't back up, basically.
Exactly.
People
basically.
Like the U.S. government specifically. We're discussing the constitutional protections and the legal protections.
To talk about Pride a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm curious how, you said you've been organizing since 1995.
Yes.
To put on Watsonville Pride. And I'm curious what that process has looked like, and what some of the challenges have been to organize a Pride in Watsonville.
Well, thank you for asking this. This what happened is that in Watsonville Pride it's a strategy. Mm-hmm. It is not some people have made it the issue. Some people have thought that it's because of we want a pride. Oh, we want a pride. Let's give him the prize. And that's it. No. Watsonville Pride is a strategy to bring visibility to the real issues within that community. That's the fact. That's the truth. Watsonville Pride, it's a strategy to gain visibility towards the real needs that the Watsonville has, the Latinos have, and so forth and so on. And also to show to people, we want to show people that we also are creative. We also have leadership. We're not here to for somebody to tell us what to do, how to do it. We know how to do it. We know how. We have been doing it for all along. We just need to be recognized now, in on the whole sense of who we are. You know, in inclusiveness, we're looking for acceptance right here. What we're trying to bring is awareness to accept, to be accepted as human beings with all our consequences and all who we are, the whole of us, you know, the whatever whole I am, as a whole human being. And sexuality is just one part of it. So Watsonville Pride came about not just recently. Watsonville Pride it's something that the actual Latino community asked for it, because we were sensing, we know that the Diversity Center at Santa Cruz wasn't, after 30 something years, hasn't been able to really pull a bunch of Latinos until lately. And actually, this year, for the first time, I'm being told there is 5 Latinos in the board of directors. Whoa! That's wonderful! Bravo! It's about time! It's about time. So I'm here to see if I'm being considered some whatever. I mean, within the movements, I mean, put aside also as the issues, because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear. And now I realize that they didn't want me there because I was exposing the truth, the real truth. I was saying, what happened about this? I'm the only one. What's wrong with this picture? I'm not the only one in my community. In how you're going to include my community. I was part of Triangle Speakers. Now Triangle Speakers is part of the Diversity Center. You know, I was the first Latina in Triangle Speakers of the board of directors, and I brought some more Latinas, not just myself, like Monica Morales, like Mireya Gomez, like and they brought other Latinas who were smart, brilliant, and students, Josie, like for instance, Josie Ramos, who else I can think of? Susie Cepeda, you know, they brought people with a lot of intelligence. Angelica Zamudio, and I forget Jamie, forgive me for not remembering your last name, but Franco, Jamie Franco. Now I remember she was a doctorate, and they help us all. She's not a doctorate. She's doing in the doctor program in UCSC. So they brought a lot of Latinas, a lot of cabeza, you know, a lot of thinking and Triangle Speakers. And we were able to recruit like about minimal of 50 something volunteers that were Latino volunteers who have this stigma of not being out of the closet because they don't ask, don't tell, and you better, I ask, I accept you, but don't tell me anything more than that, you know, attitude, and because you're going, and even the attitude about the religious community, you know, about the Catholicism that, We don't talk about that right here, right now. You know, and if you're a sinner, you're gonna go to hell. And homosexuality is a sin. So be careful. We want you, if you're a homosexual and you're a lesbian, you better say nothing. You know, because
we appreciate your help, but
not just that. But besides it's like don't express it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so what I was saying is that when I was part of Triangle Speakers, we start bringing more Latinos, Latinas within the LGBT movement. And then Fernando Alcantara, for instance, and Raul Bonilla, for instance, started a group of called Arco Iris. Fernando Alcantara started a group for gay men to call Horizontes, which still exists. So, and then we barely now starting to start talking. The dialogues are starting to happen because of what's been Pride, in fact, has brought the issues, our issues, in the front, has put them on the table, and now we're having discussions that we have never had. That's the very exciting thing. That's very exciting. But it is challenging, as challenges us is, because we're starting to disagree. We're starting the good. We agreed to sit down around the table, but now we're disagreeing. Oh. And I don't like this. I don't like that. We have found this eagerness to we have a, I mean, Watsonville Pride has been a catalyst for all the things that people have to say. Mm-hmm. You know, people have so much to say, so much to offer, so much to give, and we don't know how to put it over there. You know, this whole energy, that's a challenge in itself. You're asking me, what are the challenges? Well, those are the challenges. Besides the...
Like so much buildup. So much buildup.
That's getting complicated. It's like, who, do we do this corner first or the other one? Or the opposite corner? Oh, is it? No, it's not going to be a corner. It's going to be round. Wait a minute. And what about my wall in this side? Or you know what I'm saying? I want some place for my pictures. And what about my closet and my, where am I going to put my shoes, you know, if it was building a house, which in fact we are. We have no house. Somos doesn't have a house. That's a challenge. We don't have resources. This is a, this is a movement that all of our members are dedicated volunteers to, that have made our progress possible. And our projects are passion driven, and we pay our own, from our own pockets, to support them. We provide services, you know, we currently provide all the services that we provide, that which is support people, you know, in whatever they decide to do. And Watsonville Pride was a project that started, yes, in concept and in an idea, because obviously the LGBT movement at large has instilled enough, it's a good work, you know, it has done enough work to say that we have gotten to the realization that it's okay to be who we are, LGBT. We LGBT people, we're okay to be who we are, and we deserve to be visible, because we all human beings have the need of being visible, being noticed. Not out of vanity, but out of wanting to be seen. It's wanting to be recognized, is because if you're not seeing who's going to feed you, it's an intrinsic human nature. You're going to have a baby, for instance. Mm-hmm. Your baby, so you already know that your baby is wanting to be seen and perceived and taken care of.
And accepted as part of the community.
So it's a human need to be.
And so it's visible.
So it's visible.
Yeah.
So because if you're like, what is going to happen if you're not noticed? Right, that's why we have the media, right? Because we want to be noticed on what we do. We want to share with each other on how we are and what we have to offer to the community at large. So, in any case, in 1995, I was along with let me tell you, and before that, there were other lesbians who were doing a lot of lesbians have done a lot of work. And let me tell you, whether you accept it or not, and this is just my, I'm going to say, if it wasn't because of lesbians in Santa Cruz County, a lot of things that are happening wouldn't happen. Period.
Everybody got that out there on the air?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody hear that?
We women rock. You know, women and women, lesbian more. No, I'm just okay. I'm getting out of hand right here myself. Contain yourself, Maria. Restrain yourself. Okay.
Well, so the thing is, in just a couple minutes, we'll be joined on the phone by Olga.
Oh,
who's
Olga,
gonna call us in.
Okay. So then, a couple minutes. So let me just wrap up right here. So in we did a survey in 1999. Maribel Cuervo, Shirley Lopez and myself became the first faces on Triangle Speakers pamphlet. And that moved things a little bit. It was a strategy. Mm-hmm. It was not the focus. It was not because I want to be the face. No. But I wanted to help to put a face, right? So then we made a survey. The Santa Cruz Community Foundation made a survey, and we were unable to, they were able to assess the needs of the LGBT at large, but they were not able to bring awareness about what the Latino community needed. So then when I became part of Triangle Speakers, Monica and myself, that because Monica Morales was part of the was an intern at the Community Foundation at before, and some years before that she and I she joined me on the struggle from her own reasons, and we got together when we were working. She was the first community outreach coordinator, and we saw that one of the things that was needed, it was to do a Latino needs assessment. In the Latino needs assessment, one of the things that the people said you need to do is we want a Watsonville Pride. A Pride in Watsonville. A Watsonville Pride Latino. Something for the Latinos. And so we're talking about from 2000 to 2008. It has taken 8 years for us to act on the wanting, the need to have visibility. Watsonville Pride Watsonville Pride strives to bring visibility and awareness of the GLBT movement in Watsonville. That's the intention, is to bring awareness to the GLBT movement, not to bring visibility to the individuals themselves. So Olga Fuentes, and we had other initiatives, but we're focusing on Watsonville Pride. I met Olga Fuentes on November 15. I work for the Volunteer Center in Santa Cruz because I work for friends outside over there. So now she's there. She's coming. Okay, it's good. She's very proper. Yeah. So I met Olga Fuentes and. Do you want to say hi or whatever, something? Like
Olga, can you hear us? Welcome to Free Radio. Are you there? We'll have to try that one again.
So she's going to try again. I'll continue with the story, and she will join us in a minute. So Olga, I met Olga in November 15, and she came to my office because she in her own nature, is very generous. She has been a volunteer for the Volunteer Center for a while, and on and off, she volunteered. And should I continue or I'll wait? Yeah. So Olga was coming just to offer her help, mm-hmm. You know. And she said, and she saw me, she saw my presence. And currently, and I want to clarify this in the air, is why do I wear in clothes that give the appearance that I'm a man? Well, it's a statement. I could wear whatever. I don't care about what I wear, really. I like to look nice, but that's another matter. That's more vain, maybe. But I like to be functional. But I wear on these clothes because it's a statement. It's a strategy to bring awareness again to look at me, and that's what people. That's why people wear earrings and things, and because we all want to be distinguished or noticed, right? So, which is another identity. Human need, identity, right? So, in any case, when I met Olga, she came to my office and she saw how I was dressed, and she probably and she saw a lot of indicators that it was safe for her to come out as a lesbian. She can tell you her perspective, and she's here now.
Olga, are you there on the phone with us? Still no.
So, and then she can tell you more her flavor. And I won't say her coming out of the story, but I will tell you the background. Well, when she said, "How can I help?" And she said, and I said, "I can, what about this help? What about this help? You can help on this." And then I said, and also, I don't know how's your time and I don't know your life and so forth and so on. She decided to come out of the closet with me.
Oh, how wonderful.
Right there and then. Because I have a sticker that said Lilia, Latinas y Lesbianas y Aliados. It's a sticker that Mireya Gomez worked on and put together with a bunch of people through the YWCA in an effort, what's another strategy, to bring awareness, to create a support group, to create some sort of an alternative to meet, because we don't have a safe place to meet anywhere. So she decided to work on that. And we don't have the YWCA in Watsonville. We don't have a place. We don't have a house per se. We work wherever we're housed. And so right now, for instance, the Watsonville Volunteer Center has been our kind of like our foster home for a while, mm-hmm. Karen Delaney gave us the key to basically gave a key and the on using the center as a place where we could meet. And the YWCA has been generous as well to give us, provide us a space, safe space to meet. For instance, PFLAG in Espanol has its which is another effort what like we started when I was working in Triangle Speakers. Mm-hmm. So when I was part of the coordinator, I was the coordinator of and the vice president of Triangle Speakers. Mm-hmm. When Mireya and I started conversing, and she created Lilia with the help and support of the YWCA. So Olga saw the sticker, Lilia. Ah! And she said, I can talk to this woman. And she started talking to me, and then I challenged her. I said, when I talked to her about the Watsonville movement, the LGBT movement, she got very excited. Mm-hmm. For the first time, she found something there. She will tell you more about that. And she said, she said to me, but how can I help to the movement? And I said, and I saw immediately that this woman means business. You know, she's here to help. But I said, okay, I'll tell you what the movement has. And I put her, I gave her a sense of what the movement was. And it took us about 4 hours to talk about all this. Imagine how excited we both were to find each other. And I challenged her and I said, if you really want to help with the Watsonville Pride, oh, I want to do Pride. And I said, if you really want to do that, the first challenge that we have is that you're not out of the closet at all. Mm-hmm. And since you're not out of the closet, sorry, I can't help you with that. When you get out of the closet, come back and I'll talk and we'll see what we can do. And she said to me, really? Yes. Okay, I'll work on that. And I thought, yeah, Olga, yeah, right. A week after, she came and said, I came out of the closet to my mother. And she can tell you more about that. And then the rest is history. We started meeting frequently, and she said, and I told her, you let me guide you, and you are open to learn. I'll guide you through the process, and I'll tell you who to talk, when to talk, blah blah blah, and we can work strategies on how to do it. And then and we have our first meeting on January 27th of 2008, and we're now having our Watsonville Pride 2008 in Watsonville that will bring culture, hearts, and thoughts.
Well, and with that introduction, I believe the third time's the charm. We do have Olga on the phone here.
Yes.
Wonderful. Welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thanks, Daniel.
So we're just getting to talk about what's going on Sunday. So if you could tell us what to expect and encourage folks to come out and talk about what's going to happen this Sunday in Watsonville.
Oh, yes, definitely. As you can see, Marie and I, we've really been putting this project together, and along with other great people, and some of them are probably listening, Angie, Sylvia, and just to name a few. But I mean, it's just so awesome to actually put this together and see it happening in just a number of days. This August 24th at 10:30, we're going to be gathering at the corner of Peck and Union at the plaza here in downtown Watsonville, and we're going to be walking towards Riverside, making a turn to the right towards Main Street. We're going to make a circle, something like, if you want to see, like a circle of life, I'd say. And from 12 to about 1-ish, we'll have a spiritual ceremony. And from 1 till 5, we'll have entertainment. Also, we're going to have over 12 super awesome information booths, tables, bringing awareness of different movements, different very important subjects that are revolving within our lives. And sometimes we just don't even know that there's an agency there that can assist us and help us, so this journey of life doesn't have to be as harsh or as hard. You know, there's someone out there that's ready to listen, like the LGBT movement. I mean, I didn't even know that it existed because I was so scared to even accept myself and just even say it out loud. Till I met this woman, Maria Perez, and it's just been awesome. We're also going to have 7 local businesses who are helping out dramatically. We're going to have booths from beauty salons, from a beauty salon and a restaurant, and just another group, Horizontes, who's going to be having fresas with crema, and I think we're going to have an awesome day.
That sounds wonderful, Olga, and it sounds like it's been quite a year for you, meeting and beginning this process in January. and moving towards the big day. How are you feeling a couple days before Pride here?
Wow. I mean, it's like, you know, this is like Maria and I, we've been talking about it, and it's like our baby, and I'm like ready to give birth. I mean, it's going to be
too.
This
I'm
Sunday.
I'm here. I'm here.
Yes, it's
breathe, breathe.
Woo! Yeah, I mean, you know, the breathing techniques, they have to come in place. Yeah, it's going to be this Sunday. I mean, we're going to be taking our first baby steps at around 11 o'clock, so I'm very, very excited. I mean, along with all my group, you know, that we've been working together for, yeah, it's about 9 months. You know, it's pretty much a birth cycle, so, I mean, I'm just so thrilled
about
it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, additionally, we were talking earlier about how Pride is a process, and it's been, you know, a year, but also 10 years, 20 years in the making. But it's not necessarily the goal. What's going to come beyond Pride? This event is designed to raise awareness and visibility. Like you said, you know, are only beginning to learn that this movement has been going and exists, and that these services and these people and this movement is out there. What beyond Pride are we looking at to build?
My friend, this is just the beginning. We're just barely getting started. We're just starting our motors here. You know, I think we have a wonderful journey ahead of us. We're actually in the beginning of bringing more awareness right to the center, the heart of Watsonville, bringing awareness about what it is to be gay, letting those people know out there who have a friend or a family member who's a, you know, a gay, that there is PFLAG, and especially PFLAG en Español, because in our community, I mean, as you know, or for those who know about Watsonville, it's, you know, a Latino community, and we just don't have nowhere to go, really, for, you know, awareness and information and somewhere where we can, you know, rest our shoulders and say, hey, you know, I need this kind of support. And thanks to Somos LGBT, that's information, we're going to rock our little town, and I am so proud of you all who are listening and, you know, giving a moment of your time to listen to us, because awareness, education is power.
I'm curious, what is it, if there's been any sort of outreach among middle schoolers and high schoolers in the schools in Watsonville, and how involved is the youth in creating this event?
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry, it's cutting off.
We're just wondering about youth involvement in Pride and outreach to middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Watsonville High, Valerie, she's been very supportive. PV High also. Matter of fact, we have one of our subcommittee members, Omar Fuentes, who is, he goes to PV High. He's a senior. He's a GSA. And, yeah, we're definitely working close with our youth. That's why we're going to have at our family zone at the plaza, we're going to have Strange. We're also going to have Strange and PFLAG en Español, you know, just to continue to bring awareness and hold our fellow sisters' hand and say, and brothers, you know, say it's okay. You know, this is how we're going to work together. So when someone comes to the parent or the sister or the aunt and you know, let them know, hey, well, I heard, you know, your sister's lesbian. You know, for them to also know how to kind of adapt their own system to our system, because we are somewhat merging together, and PFLAG brings more awareness of what it is to be gay. And it's just wonderful how we are all kind of, you know, marching in this path and working towards our mission, which is to bring awareness about the movement. And it's something that, you know, gradually we're doing it. And I am so happy for those, once again, who are listening, because the listeners are the ones who are so important to us, because without them, we wouldn't actually exist either. So it's a teamwork here.
Yes. Can you hear me, Olga?
Yes.
Okay, so wonderful. So the thing is, what I was saying to earlier, I was sharing how we actually met and how I challenged you to come back when you were ready to really rock and roll and do the Watsonville Pride, and you were and kind of like, I was not believing, like I was like it was gonna be one of those empty promises that you were gonna come back eventually.
Yeah,
and it was very interesting that how you came back to the plate a week later and said, I'm ready. What can we do? What do I need to do?
Shucks, I know, Maria. That
Can you share your how you come out to your mother?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. When I met Maria, you know, I walked in. I mean, just by her appearance, I'm like, oh, this is a dyke lady, and I liked her already without even exchanging names or nothing. Before she even said her name's Maria, I'm like, this is Maria, because even over the phone, when she left a message, you know, for us to meet, without even meeting her, I mean, I already knew this lady was lesbian because of, I don't know, something. There was a connection without even meeting her in person. So I walk into her office, and I see this Lilia business card or sticker and rainbow, and I said, okay, this is my time. I mean, God only knows why he brought me to this office and this moment and with this lady. So I said, you know, before I left, I knew I had to say something. It was just something that I had to just liberate myself. So we started talking about the LGBT movement, where I never ever even heard about it because I was so afraid even to be around gays because of the fear of the rejection of my family that I thought I would receive. But this is very, very, I mean, this is so meaningful to me. Like I tell Maria, you know, being able to create pride with you guys is not just an event. This is part of my life. And not just my life, but as I could see with the other people who are volunteering and making this possible, it's just been awesome. So anyways, I'm like a little Mexican jumping bean, as you can see. You know, I talk, I'm talking about something and then I jump to the other. But the fact is that it's been an honor for me putting together this big event because it's bringing awareness about the movement. And when my family accepted me, I mean, Maria told me, you know, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, hey, well, there's prides going on everywhere. Why not in our hometown? So she said, okay, you know, this is what she thought I should do. Now, I understand Maria. As she's saying right now, she didn't really thought I was gonna pull it through. But there was not even one instant since I met Maria that I doubted myself. So as I could see, sometimes people doubt me, but in reality, it's like I know I could do this, and I never lost faith, and I will never lose faith, and I know I could do this and more. And not just myself, but those who are listening, never lose faith. Believe in yourself, and you know your dream can come true. So now, I told my mother on November 29th that I was so afraid of letting her know that I'm lesbian because she's been part of the St. Patrick's Church for over 30 years. And when she told me, she said, "You know, mija, what God creates, He creates it well." And she stretched her arms and just embraced me. And I mean, I just started that instant. I just dropped to my knees. I hugged her. We cried for hours, if not days. And it was just so, so special because I felt like a baby, a little lesbian baby. It was just so, so beautiful, so emotional. And I started healing as of that moment. And I went to my nephew next and just on and on. And each single member of my family, they've said, you know, Olga, you're so wonderful, and we actually already knew, but we're so happy that you are actually, you know, saying it out loud. And unfortunately, excuse me, this is not the same case to a lot of gays out there. And if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. It is a very, very hard struggle. It's not easy, even though it's 2008, Watsonville, it's not easy. But it's not impossible either. If we continue to work together in this, we are going to be very successful because it's showing on August 24th, our first gay parade. You know, people thought, Watsonville? Well, yes, Watsonville is going to have its first gay parade this August 24th. We're going to be at the plaza from 11 to 5. And we are there to support you because I feel this big commitment with my community, especially my raza, my gente mexicana, not to exclude anybody else. You're all special. I love you guys all. But especially my gente latina, because I was born in Mexico, and I was raised in a family with, you know, very religious, you know, with our principles very tight, very strong. But no, we can do this because there's nothing wrong. Being gay, it's okay.
Para que todos saben su cuenta en español también, para raza, para la gente. Si puede dar este testimonio también de su tiempo con tu mamá.
Oh, claro que sí. cuando mi madre me aceptó ese 29 de noviembre, 9:30 a.m, para las 9:45 ya era una lesbianita, ya con empezando a desarrollar ese orgullo con más potencia. Y pues sí, me aceptó mi mamá, me dijo, ¿sabes qué, mija? Lo que Diosito hace, lo hace bien hecho, y aquí está tu madre y te quiero. Yo tenía tantos temores porque mi mamá es ministra de Eucaristía de San Patricio, aquí en Watsonville. Tenía miedo por ella, tenía miedo por mí, tenía miedo por toda mi familia, pero tengo una familia que es, tiene mente abierta, y sobre todo creo que eso pasa porque tienen un gran amor para mí, un gran amor para todos. Y si mi familia, que es muy conservadora, puede hacerlo, yo sé que cualquier persona que nos está escuchando puede hacerlo. Nada más dese una oportunidad de entender un poquito el movimiento y entienda, por favor, que no estamos aquí porque decidimos estar. Estamos aquí porque tenemos una razón para traer visibilidad sobre el movimiento, porque nosotros no elegimos ser lesbiana o gay o bisexual, pero usted sí puede elegir, aunque sea escuchar, para ver qué piensa después.
Entonces, también por los que nos escucha ahí en el área, ¿qué van a ver la gente que viene al Pride, a la marcha ahí este domingo en Watsonville?
¿Qué es lo que van a ver? Pues, número uno, lo que van a ver es información y ver lo que es en realidad ser un gay. No estamos aquí promoviendo, o sea, no nos vamos a desnudar como muchos tienen esa, piensan, oh, pues son unos vaguitos, o sea, se van a andar desnudando o exponiéndose en una forma vulgar. Claro que no. Y si eso piensa, pues déjeme le digo, tiene un concepto súper equivocado. Si quiere entender lo que es la neta del planeta, como dice María Pérez, venga, dese una oportunidad para mirar la realidad, lo que es ser un gay. Y este agosto 24 lo invitamos a que venga a la plaza de Watsonville para una marcha que se inicia a las 10:30. Nos vamos a estar reuniendo para alinearnos y empezar la marcha como a las 11:00. Así Riverside, de Riverside vamos a dar una vueltecita a la derecha para la Main Street, vamos a hacer un círculo y a las 12, de 12 a 1, va a haber, es una hora de espiritual. No vamos a tocar los temas de ninguna religión, simplemente tratar de conectar nuestros corazones, nuestras almas, o sea, espiritual. De la 1 a las 5, entretenimiento, pero es entretenimiento sano. Entretenimiento sano, o sea, vamos a tener, por ejemplo, Vive Oaxaca, lo que es Sones de Sinaloa, La Flor de la Peña, de la Piña, música de rock alternativo, Smokey the Giant de Monterrey, Carlita González, va a estar leyendo un poema, o sea, todos estos eventos, todas estas presentaciones es de gente local, gente con corazón, como usted que nos está escuchando. So venga, dese una oportunidad para mirar en realidad qué es ser un gay, mesas de información para educarle, no es de que no está educado, sino que educarle con la información correcta, vamos a decir así. So los invitamos, vengan este domingo, dennos una oportunidad, que nosotros lo estamos esperando con los brazos abiertos.
Sí. Olga, tú sabes que una cosa que es importante es que el desfile y la marcha comienza en la esquina de Peck y Union Street, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Y entonces, ya dijiste que estamos, que la razón de la misión de Watsonville Pride, ¿cuál es la misión de Watsonville Pride?
Pues
traer visibilidad,
conocimiento, o sea, sobre el tema, información. Esa es nuestra misión. Sí. Y a la misma vez, o sea, para decirle a esas personas que todavía se encuentran en el closet, por decir así, que no están solitos, no están solitos porque aquí estamos y somos una familia. Sí. Y nunca es tarde, nunca es tarde. Si no estás lista ahorita, date tu tiempo, no te apresures, porque siempre en esta vida hay un momento y hay un lugar.
Sí, y también estamos, queríamos decir, me pasé un montón de tiempo sin no hemos traducido al español. varias cosas que estaba yo diciendo antes. Estaba diciendo que tú, y tú ya sabes esto, que el, a ver, tú me ayudas cuando se me escapa algo. El Watsonville Pride es una estrategia, no es la razón de ser del movimiento. No es que porque queremos mucha gente, inclusive las gentes que son nuestros aliados, piensan que con darnos una oportunidad de marchar ya nos vamos a contentar y que eso es todo lo que queremos. No, queremos traer visibilidad, porque la visibilidad es una necesidad. Queremos que nos miren, queremos que nos vean. Como estaba diciendo, es una necesidad humana el que nos vean, que nos noten. Porque si no nos ven y no nos notan, ¿cómo van a saber cómo nos van a ayudar? Y en una comunidad, más temprano que tú no podías estar aquí, que ahorita que nos estás uniendo, yo estaba hablando de la necesidad humana de hacer trabajo comunitario, de hacer trabajo en unidad comunitaria. Y esa es la intención. Watsonville Pride es una estrategia mediante la cual nosotros vamos a ver si es posible crear comunidad y más conciencia y todos y cada uno de nosotros para ser más comunitarios y poder de esa manera terminar con la opresión, terminar con las diferentes capas de opresión de las cuales somos todos sufrimos.
Sí.
Entonces, por eso ustedes, el subcomité organizador puso que van a unificar culturas, corazones y pensamientos a través, ese es el tema del desfile de orgullo de esta vez,
sí.
¿Cierto?
Sí, claro.
Sí, entonces estaba yo también diciendo que Pride no empezó de la noche a la mañana y no empezó nada más cuando tú y yo nos conocimos. Empezó por todo un movimiento que ha habido anteriormente, que empezó desde 1995 más o menos, con mucha conciencia por mi parte, pero no quiere decir que yo era la primera. Había otras personas antes y estaba explicando que el movimiento también... cuando yo formé, me decidí a ser parte de, en 1999, de Triangle Speakers, y se vinieron otras personas como a participar en el movimiento, como Mónica Morales, como Mireya Gómez, se me pasó Marisol Castañeda, no la nombré hace rato, y vinieron a ser parte del movimiento Yosine Ramos, Susi Cepeda, Angélica Zamudio. Todas ellas vinieron a formar parte del esfuerzo cuando estábamos en Triangle Speakers. Después, cuando nos movimos de Triangle Speakers, ya ahora Triangle Speakers forma parte del Diversity Center, pero estaba también explicando que el hecho de que haya un Centro de la Diversidad en Santa Cruz no quiere decir que el Centro de la Diversidad en Santa Cruz ha logrado de veras a capturar y dar respuesta a las necesidades de los latinos LGBTs, y que esa es la razón de hacer Watsonville Pride, es traer al frente cuáles son nuestras necesidades y cómo queremos que la comunidad nos ayude, porque la comunidad en general nos ha ignorado por mucho tiempo, y específicamente el Diversity Center no ha podido capturar y responder a las necesidades. Es hasta últimamente, los últimos 2-3 años, y específicamente este año, por primera vez tienen latinas en la mesa directiva, lo cual aplaudimos, pero no nos vamos a ir. Somos LGBT, no se va a ir, porque somos, como yo había dicho más temprano por micrófono, había dicho en inglés, que si yo me he convertido en una espina una piedra en el zapato de los organizadores, ha sido con la intención precisamente de poner el dedo en la llaga y de decir exactamente lo que está pasando, decir la neta del planeta, del movimiento, porque hay que decirlo fuerte cuando se necesita hablar fuerte, hay que gritar cuando se necesita gritar, y esto es el hecho, somos LGBT, es como un grito desesperado ante la sociedad para decir ya no más, no más opresión, necesitamos ser aceptados en todo lo que somos completamente como seres humanos. Y el Diversity Center ahora nos está apoyando, también nos está apoyando el National Coalition Building Institute, el Instituto de Construcción de Coaliciones Nacional, y nos está apoyando varias iglesias, van a venir, van a ser parte del círculo de sanación que le estamos llamando, después de la marcha, luego va a haber, por primera vez, no he visto esto en ningún Pride, va a haber un círculo de sanación, y va a ser conducido, en la cabeza vamos a tener dos chamans, dos chamanes nativo americanos, uno heterosexual y una mujer Cherokee, que es two spirit, o sea, de dos, el doble espíritu, dos espíritus. Los dos van a dirigir la ceremonia para dar gracias y de que estamos allí y para promover la sanación de las gentes, de los pueblos de todo el mundo. Estamos haciendo un llamado de paz, un llamado a la reconciliación interna de nuestros conflictos y de nuestra reconciliación externa con nuestros hermanos de raza, con nuestros hermanos de otras razas, en un círculo en la mera plaza de Watsonville. Eso yo nunca lo he visto, no lo he visto en muchas luchas, por eso le estaba diciendo hace rato que es importante que nosotros nos entendamos como seres humanos completos. Somos más que nuestra sexualidad, somos más que nuestra espiritualidad, somos más que trabajadores, somos más que mujeres, somos más que hombres, somos más que niños, somos más que jóvenes o viejos, somos más que cualquiera de las partes que nos fragmentadas de quienes somos como unidad de ser humano. Entonces, el círculo es una de las cosas nuevas que estamos implementando y esperamos seguir provocando eso para provocar, para incentivar, para movilizar, para desbaratar las opresiones internas de todos los individuos y promoverlos hacia la unificación de criterios entre todos nosotros. Es una cosa. La otra cosa que es importantísima que estamos haciendo es The Family Zone. No he visto en ningún otro, la zona familiar, no he visto en ningún otro desfile o marcha de orgullo festival de orgullo, no he visto algo así. Esta es la primera vez y esto no fue una creación nada más así, fue una discusión y la gente estaba muy emocionada de que estábamos tomando en cuenta que el tema familiar en ese sentido, y vamos a tener un jumping house, un brincolín para los niños brincar allí, para los jóvenes también los adultos pueden meter con cuidadito, se pueden volver niños por un momento, están bienvenidos a ser niños de pronto otra vez, y también va a estar junto con los jóvenes. Les vamos a dar un lugar a los jóvenes. Strange nos va a ayudar con eso, y también por primera vez vamos a darle una función a los grupos espirituales, algo que hacer, porque luego pues no saben qué hacer exactamente, no nos quieren ofender, no nos quieren lastimar, y como hay esta polarización entre los grupos espirituales y los LGBTs por la cantidad de opresión que existe religiosa hacia nosotros. Bueno, estamos creando de Memorial Site, un sitio para reflexionar, para darle gracias o para rezar vamos a tener un altar chiquitito allí donde van la gente que tenga pues no, que si sabe, si alguien murió en la oscuridad y alguien sabe, si usted sabe que un familiar, un amigo que usted quería mucho, era gay, era lesbiana, era bisexual o transgénero, usted va a tener oportunidad de platicar con las sacerdotes y sacerdotas, sacerdotisas, los sacerdotes y las sacerdotisas, las personas espirituales allí van a estar para darle el apoyo que ustedes necesitan cuando piensen sobre esto. Queremos incluir la mayoría y queremos encontrar la mayoría de las necesidades o sea, queremos responder a la mayoría de las necesidades que los seres humanos podemos tener. Vamos a tener arte. Vamos a tener una artista local, Trish Hansen. Va a traer mesonita y su creación, sus creatividades con su arte de mesonita y acrílico. Y allí vamos a tener eso. Vamos a tener el programa. Está fabuloso. Tienen que venir a ver la creación y la creatividad de la que los muchachos han sido capaces con la ayuda de PJ Warner, y quiero dar las gracias y aprovechar este momento. ¿Me falta algo, Olga?
Wow, María, pues como siempre, impresionante. No, creo que está todo ahí puesto, sí, sobre la mesa.
Pues Olga, antes de que salgas, también quiero preguntarle, porque más que participar, más que venir, ¿qué pueden hacer la gente para apoyar este Pride y los que vienen? Porque mi sentimiento es que es el primero de muchos.
qué es lo que pueden hacer.
Sí, ya tenemos dos días más de organizar, de apoyar, de ayudar. ¿Qué pueden hacer los que nos escuchan?
Pues si gustan ser voluntarios, pues por favor llámenme al 706-6824 o simplemente preséntese ahí en la plaza a las 9 de la mañana y estaremos ahí. Pero si no puede venir, simplemente con que dése otra oportunidad de pensar dos veces antes de juzgar. O sea, y no nada más en el movimiento LGBT, pero en cualquier tema en este universo, pienso que es importante, en vez de responder rápido, piense dos veces, porque muchas veces puede hacer una diferencia empezando con su propia vida.
And so I understand your time is limited, but if you could tell our listeners in English what they can do to help, obviously to come and to participate and to enjoy on Sunday.
Yes.
But we still have 2 days. There's time if you want to contribute in other ways. It's been a process, and it sounds like this will be the first Pride of many.
Right.
So what can listeners do to help you out?
Well, first of all, I mean, if you would like to make any generous donation or just
That's right.
call us, and if you would like to donate a little piece of land and a house, that's what we're looking for, but I mean, just to throw it up in the air. But in reality, I think that as long as you give yourself a chance to learn about the movement, that's a big contribution already to the movement in a whole. But if you would like to come out and be part of this big historical event, you can reach me at 706-6824. Just come down to the plaza in the morning at 9-ish and just be there. But like always, I was saying in Spanish that just by giving yourself a chance to be more open-minded about the subject, about what it is to be gay, just be open-minded, and right there you're giving us, or you're making a big contribution already, not just to the movement, but for yourself as well, just to be more aware of what's going on.
Well, Olga, thank you very much for your time and for your work. Is there anything else you want to say before you go?
Thanks for having us. Thanks for, you know, allowing us a space. And for all of you who are listening, thank you very much. And si se puede.
Si se puede. Gracias, Olga, por todo tu trabajo.
You're welcome. We'll see you on Sunday.
Sí. quiero una cosa importante. Tenemos todavía boletos para tickets de donación, o sea, boletos de donación a $2 por
Sí, son $2 el boleto. $2
el boleto.
Tres boletos por $5.
Ajá. Uh-huh. Y es un y qué es lo que vamos a cuáles son los premios que incluimos en esta tómbola?
Pues van a haber más de 25 premios. El gran premio es un crucero a México.
The Mexican Riviera.
Yeah, the Mexican Riviera. That's the grand prize. The tickets are $2 a piece or 3 for $5, and they're donation tickets. You can purchase them. I mean, you could reach me at 706-6824 or Maria.
331-0166-333.
Or come out to on Sunday, and we're going to have them there at the information and Watsonville Pride booth. You don't have to be present to win, and the other prizes are all local, all from Santa Cruz County, from makeovers, facials, massage, and coffee places. It's just marvelous. So many prizes, but the biggest prize, of course, is the grand prize is the cruise. But I think that the biggest thing for us is for you just to come out here and support and just, you know, just be part of the warmth of our little town.
Sí. Gracias, Olga.
Okay.
Olga, thank you for your time and for your work and for your pride, too.
Oh, awesome, sí. Daniel. And a lot of success to you, okay?
Thank you much.
Now. All right. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a real quick break and come right back on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM.